Our next presenter will be presenting on the use of SDI data for near real-time assessment of state and local influenza vaccination update. And this is Dr. Gary Euler from the Assessment Branch in the Immunization Services Division.
Thank you, Stacy. The title is Estimating Influenza Vaccination Uptake Trends in Near Real Time. Subtitle, Third-Party Claims Data from Physician Offices. The claims data set that we'll be talking about today is, I think, the largest in the nation. There are a number of others. This is the one that's national. And about 60% of all private physicians submit claims for vaccination into this data set within a few weeks of administration of the vaccine. One advantage of having access to a database like this is third-party claims for influenza vaccination within a couple of weeks after vaccination occurs in physician offices is knowing a lot of information very early on, early in the season, such as we'll start to see in the next few slides. This is our outline for the presentation. First, we'll start with a national packet of seven figures of trend lines and one histogram from claims data that was collected in near real time. And when these claims data are submitted to the third-party payer, they also go out to a data warehouse at the same time. And so that's a difference between a traditional claims data set that comes to is available a year or two after occurrence of the events, after the third-party payer processes the information and provides it to the end user. We'll then look at, we're going to be looking at uptake of vaccination and uptake by age groups. We'll look at weekly uptake and we'll look at cumulative uptake and by month. Then we'll review those each of those individual seven figures one at a time and look at examples of states with a variety of trend patterns that may differ from the national picture. We'll also compare with three or four slides the distribution over a season of the claims data to the national telephone surveys and in-home surveys that have been done for a number of years now and been relied upon for these kinds of data. The Behavior Risk Factor Surveillance System with a sample size of about 400,000 homes, and it's that state-based and provides coverage for the various groups by state. That can be done almost as rapidly as this, but generally it's not done rapidly. It's done at best several months after the actual vaccination is reported in the survey. And then we have the National Health Interview Survey, which is 75% interviews in-home, and that is not available usually for 6 months after the season. We are going to demonstrate in a short demonstration how claims can provide both vaccination and disease data at the same time for linking of disease epicurves and vaccination coverage or uptake curves. A lot of what we see today will be available on this new, brand new webpage on the CDC website called FluVax View, and that's the place to go for information in near real time. Our objectives. Are to demonstrate the utility of existing influenza vaccination claims data for disease control purposes during the state flu campaign, and then to request your ideas on how to use influenza vaccination uptake data available within a week or a month of vaccination. How would this information help you in your daily flu campaign? And request your ideas on how to expand the claims database so that eventually, smaller and smaller jurisdictions will have the same estimates that are now available for the smallest areas of 20 largest cities. We were talking earlier about some of the data that might be available or the information that might be available from these claims data, and this is an example of something that I don't know if many of us are aware of. When you think about the start of the influenza vaccination period, do you generally think of early July? But from looking at these data, we find that 41 states had started vaccinating in the week of July 10, this current season, 10 for adults only and 3 states for children only, for a total of 3,900 vaccinations in private physician offices. For reference, by the end of December, 37 million were given. So it's a very small fraction, but yet it did start at that point in time. And by the end of the month of July, 45 states were actually engaged, giving 25,400 doses. First week in August, 49 states, and by the end of August, all states were vaccinating in all age groups. It wasn't too long ago, I can recall, when the recommendation to vaccinate said wait until October to start. And now we're vaccinating early July. So you might not know that the flu season starts first week in July now. Now, how can we utilize data like this? These show the trends, as we'll see shortly, for the current season and then past two seasons. I think that we can use these data to evaluate novel ways to motivate and remind patients and vaccinators early in the season and keep up with providing information from public health to the private sector, which would be, I think, a new idea in most situations. Public health then can play a stronger role in leadership with private providers and professional medical organizations. And also, if you can go to your professional medical associations and talk to the vaccinators and say, did you know that in our state we're doing this amount of vaccination in these age groups right now? And do you know that compares to the last two seasons? And do you know how that compares to the states around us or maybe in the largest cities nearby? And then you can indicate, you can find out if vaccination is getting a slow start this season compared to previous seasons and determine why and give direction. You also can enhance your presentations in near real time to the media interviews more effectively and get your messages out and lobby for change and innovation and for greater resources using state and local near real-time uptake estimates. This is the first of our series of 7 figures. This shows the curves for the current season in orange up through February 26, and then a weekly uptake, and then you can see the peak week toward the end of October. And then the green is last season. Keep in mind that the green for last season is just for the trivalent vaccine. And, of course, vaccinees included those getting the monovalent H1N1, but those are not shown in the curve. And this is sometimes called seasonal vaccination. You can expect that curve to be increased in total volume underneath the curve or in a peak time by maybe 10% or in this case, 5 million doses in physician offices. And so it would be similar to the blue curve. But you can see it's shifted to the left starting earlier, far earlier for the 9-10 season. And you see the orange line is even earlier going into that first week in July. You can see a dip for the Thanksgiving week. It's a short week. And then the rise back to the trend. And you can see the dip at Christmas time. And you can see how much vaccination occurs in December relative to the rest of the season, January and February. You can see that this year there's a little stronger amount of vaccination occurring in December, January, and February. And the area under the curve would be the total vaccinations reported as administered through the claims data set in physicians' offices. Here is a cumulative curve, and you can see that this season we are ahead by the end of December, when this data here is used, and you can see that it's probably about 5 million doses ahead in physician offices at that time. This shows you just now children, the same weekly uptake curves, and the dips and are a little greater in the two holidays. And you can see that the curves are fairly similar for the last 2 years, except for the 2 years ago, much more volume going on in vaccination per week in October and November among children than the, and that was consistent this year compared to last year. And last year had a greater amount of vaccination early on. We're going to hurry through some of these, and this is the cumulative curve way ahead of the last two seasons this year. Here you see the adults shifted a little bit between the last two seasons, but starting earlier, but volume is not as high as two seasons ago. And you can see the cumulative did not rise above two seasons ago. Keep in mind again that the green line is artificially reduced since it only picked up about 90% of vaccinees. Now, this is the histogram that shows all age groups separated out, and the proportion to volume of individual colors represents what kind of success is seen in the different age groups relative to the others. And you can see for the nationwide, the red area is the new group, 19 to 49. That's 40 million people in the population, or 40% rather, not 40 million, 40%, it's 120 million. But you're not seeing that it's 40% of the volume represented here. So we have a ways to go to catch up with the other age groups. On the other hand, child there, 80 million, about a fourth of the total population is should be about 25% of the volume there. And in some states, you'll see that fluctuate, and we'll talk about that. Here you have the uptake and overall through February 26th that we looked at earlier. Now we're going to compare some state shapes for this. Here you see quite a different picture in Colorado, not near as high as 2 years ago. Too high 2 years ago was the big season. Here you see just the opposite, Hawaii, big season in this current season for all ages. Now we look at age, we look at the national picture for 6 months and older for cumulative doses. And we see that California had a different picture than the national picture. We see that District of Columbia had a much higher this year for all ages. Cumulative, now we look at the child curves. This is the national for review. And you see that Oregon last season was quite dramatically different. And here's Pennsylvania with this season being higher weekly. Here we look at the children cumulative national. And you see Alabama much higher with children. Kentucky, midway between the last two seasons in children, and the national picture for adults, and you see that Hawaii was quite a bit different for adults this past season. North Dakota, much lower, relative speaking, to two seasons ago. Here you see the adults curve. Again, you notice that not much more than two seasons ago, but look at Minnesota, far under that. Look at Colorado, in between, far under 2 years ago, but look at Ohio, far above. And now we look at this first to look at different shapes. This is the national picture for age-specific. You look at Hawaii, far different. 50 to 64 is prominent in green. 18 to 49 is more prominent in red because the child are not there. The reason the children are not there is because they have a strong school-located vaccination program, and that is not reported but with claims data at the current time. Look at the children here in Maryland, a very strong proportion, very strong in the latter parts of December. You see they're about the only ones getting vaccinated into November through December. Then you see, here you see 1849, hardly at all, and 65 plus, a big factor in Florida. This is our current season. District of Columbia, a little different shape, more 18 to 49, relative speaking. Delaware, very prominent with child. And here we see Utah, hardly any 65-plus there relative to the other groups. Here you see Alaska, again, child is not prominent. 50 to 64 is very prominent. And Arkansas, look at the 65-plus, very prominent. And so we're going to compare now to these other two surveys. As far as the distribution of vaccination being reported, BRFAS and NHIS, you see that the distribution across the months is very solid. So even though we're looking at it just physician only at currently, physician office only, the distribution or the shape is very solid. That was the young adults. Here you have the 6 through 18, the children, and here you have the 65 plus, and here you have the entire age span, very close. But the sample sizes are in the millions for the claims data set, where there are only 3,800 vaccinees in NHIS. And so we need to look at this more critically. This is a slide that does that. How representative are these data that come in into claims? That's important to consider as we look at some disease curves next, which we're going to run through quickly. And one of the problems we may have is that we don't know for sure, we haven't looked at this in detail yet, is whether the hospitals that we're going to look at in our disease data, because we're going to use ED visits in children diagnosed as flu as our index, once that reaches above baseline, we indicate that the state is involved at a certain level. And we follow then that pattern across the U.S., and we're going to do that quickly here in just a second. We don't know for sure how representative the hospitals are. We know that they're the larger hospitals and the teaching hospitals that are more represented in the claims data than the smaller hospitals in each state. We don't know how that representativeness compares across states. We also know what it represents as far as the entire population of the state. But one huge advantage is the larger sample size of this claims database for analysis in the smaller subgroups. Here we have, notice the date at the top. This is June 15. We have no involvement, according to our index of child ED visits, to the proportion of all visits to ED in any state before June. We know there are cases in California and Florida by this time, maybe as much as, you know, in April, so maybe 2 months earlier, but we have not, our index is not kicked in. Here it kicks in June 20, the week of June 20, in two states, and then in a few more states, and so forth. And this is the progression, according to our index in this data set, of the epidemic. Now, this brings us to September 19, just before we have vaccine available. And you know, vaccine didn't become available to October 5 for H1N1. And you see the states that have not engaged at the level of our index of child visits to ED reaching above baseline. And now let's look what happens when the vaccine starts. You see that here we have in the shaded state labels the coverage by state. You can see that everything is below 10%. Every state is engaged at this point in vaccinating. And then as the labels lighten in color, you see that their vaccination increases. And when you see the dark spots for the states, that's where our index is returned to baseline and the level of involvement is not so great in those states, and the epidemic is starting to subside. And you see vaccination levels increasing now as the labels get lighter. And let me just back up one there. And you can see the lightest labels are in the Northeast. And that's where vaccination started before, according to our index, the epidemic had reached a certain level there, which was very interesting to be able to look at. That's the advantage of having these data near real time. Now, what is included? We're only looking here at physician offices in these claims. What's not included, but could be over time, especially the pharmacies. Pharmacies, grocery stores, workplace, senior centers, public health clinic, HMOs. And some of the HMO information is available, and we can talk about the methodology and how that is made available in the claims data set. Other clinics, schools, airports, emergency departments, their vaccination information, some of which is in the data set, but we are not using at CDC at the current time. An accurate estimate of VFC vaccination is not available. Generally, the cost for the vaccination itself, of course, is not is free to the individuals delivering it and providing it, and so that's not, there's no billing for that, but there is billing for administration. And the administration codes that are used are either the antigen code or administration code, and the amount of the cost is like $1, so they can be identified in some states and in different ways, and that needs to be uniform depending on the procedure code. Now, what options are available to optimize the usefulness of claims data? The pharmacy claims can potentially be combined with physician office claims. About 50% is in the data set, but we're not using it currently. Community vaccinators have started to show interest in adding their data if funding becomes available. Public health clinics may consider increasing claims for administration of influenza vaccinations. And the CMS coding needs to be brought up to date so that we can utilize it more effectively. And provider VFC could be used to facilitate accurate in-season estimates of state-specific influenza vaccination uptake. Utility of the CDC at the claim source is near real-time estimates may be enhanced as a few of these steps are accomplished in future seasons. As database grows, there will be more local estimates possible. Representativeness is the main issue that needs to be addressed as we go forward with this data set and can be improved with the above additions. We have just out of time, but I just want to quickly review the recent history of vaccination coverage date. Historically, it's been available only after the next season started. It's indicated only slow improvements each year. It's recently have shown very large improvements, a few large improvements. Recently, it's been available near real time. Recently, it has measured impact of multiple expanded influenza vaccination recommendations. This week, it became available for states on a new CDC webpage called FluVax View, which I would like to propose can change our paradigm, revolutionize our disease control across the U.S. It can be used by public health and immunization in campaign planning, pre-season, and during the season, uses for local and national media, uses for documentation, evaluation, promotion, and motivation. This is a new paradigm. It's interactive, it's custom, it's expanding, it's powerful, near real time. This is what it looks like. All of these can be made into JPEGs and be used in PowerPoints and in presentations. These are all interactive. They can be modified. And here we show a selection of one region, the collection of states, and you see the multiple ways in which it's demonstrated. Here's another one, and this is the website, and that's it's time for me to sit down. Thank you.